Today we're going to talk about some of the ballot propositions which we're voting on in this midterm election. Incidentally, more people are registered to vote in this midterm election than any time since 1960. So we expect that Republicans, older people, and conservatives generally are more likely to vote pre-ballot, pre-election day balloting. There's 13 million voters that have are eligible to vote in California, and it's expected that 3 million have already voted. Now we're talking to you people who have not voted yet.
Also, the younger people across the nation, the younger people are starting to find that it's a great time to vote, that they're actually interested. I can tell you, I have lots and lots of family that have turned 18 over the last 30 years that when you say, oh, good, you get to vote now, and they go, oh, yeah, so what? And I'm seeing that there's a bigger proponent of younger people who are going to turn out to vote this year. So we're excited to see that happen. And so what we wanted to do, and I know that probably a lot of you have already voted. I hope a lot of you have. Absentee voting is very popular. Remember that if you are an absentee voter, you can fill out your ballot and you can just drop it at any balloting place in the county, anywhere. So feel free to just fill out that ballot and drop it. Now, I want to give you my sage advice that I always give in these situations when we're talking about voting, and we're going to talk about it today, and I know we're all getting really sick of it, so I can't wait until tomorrow's over, because I'm really tired of the advertisements and the false advertisements. And so my advice always is, if you don't understand it, do not vote on it, because you could be voting in something that you ultimately will not like and will not benefit you the way you think that it will. So please be really aware. Either know what you're voting for or don't vote on that particular issue. And sometimes what I do is I don't care about certain things as much as I do about others. So I'll trigger the ones that are most important and vote on those if I don't have, the time to run through everything and fully understand it. So our effort today is to try and make you aware of what some of these issues are that you may not be aware of, what's going on behind the scenes a little bit, what these things mean.
Now, I want to do an overview too. The fact is that the general election here in November, we have propositions. In June, we had initiatives. Now, I generally am very suspicious of any proposition because it's legislating through the ballot box rather than the legislature actually having research done, listening to the lobbyists, listening to people that actually are in the know. They have hearings and stuff like that, whereas we don't get that. We just get commercials. So it's generally my opinion that propositions should be looked at with a lot of suspicion.
Also, the other general rule that we want everybody to be aware of is you have to vote with both your head and your heart. Don't let your heart outrun your head, because what happens is you get these people that are going to tug on your heartstrings and want $19 a month for the poor puppies who are being damaged. Okay, that's fine. But what we've got here is we have propositions. Several of these propositions are asking for billions and billions of dollars for each one to be paid over 35 years with interest. So, let's say $145 million that you borrow for watersheds today is going to cost you $2 billion over 35 years to repay. And who's going to repay that? It's your kids. It's your grandkids. So before you start spending billions and billions and billions of dollars, you might want to be looking at how much that really ends up being. And there is a little section at the end of the if you get out your general election ballot little booklet thing, it will tell you in there what actually it will end up costing, what the fiscal effects will be. And it's really important that you're aware of how much money they're asking us to spend, our kids to spend, our grandkids to spend, because we don't have that kind of money. So if you want to vote yes on some of these bond measures, you might want to pick one that's your favorite pet project or your favorite, you know, thing that makes sense to you, and be aware that it's going to affect everybody down the road from us, and some of them more than others. I think it's Proposition 6. Is it 6 that's the road one? 6 is a really important one, and I don't know if we want to start there or go through them.
I think we should go through them from the start to the finish, but I want to say one more general thing too, and this really affects me personally because I have 2 children. And each one of them are living, you know, even though they have good jobs, they are living in a situation where they're renting. They can't afford a house. I remember my parents were the first 50 families in Rohnert Park. And my dad was a GI, so he got the GI Bill, which was $100 down and $100 a month to buy a house in Rohnert Park. There is no way our kids can do that right now. And I look at my 9 grandchildren and I say, are they going to be able, is this bond going to benefit them? And if it's not, I'm going to vote no on it, no matter how many things they try to do to tug at my heartstrings. Is this going to benefit our children and grandchildren, this bond? Because generally, remember, when you are voting law in through the ballot box, you are being influenced by commercials.
And not by the real facts that are really important for you to know. So let's start with one, which authorizes bonds to fund specified housing assistance programs.
Absolutely not. This is a ballot measure that it is asking the electorate to put into to sell bonds that are going to have to be paid off over the next 25, 30 years. And they are going, and we are going to have to incur millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars for this annually. And we can't afford that.
Well, and also, just so that you know, with this one, you're selling bonds to investors. And who do you think those investors are going to be? They're going to be developers. So who is this bond really going to ultimately, it's going to enrich the developers, which, you know, they're doing just fine right now. They don't really need a bunch more money. And I don't think it's going to actually help the housing situation. And it's going to come out of our pockets and everybody else's pockets.
I look at my grandchildren and I have 5 of them under 7 years old. And I start thinking that how is a bond measure that's put into effect today going to help them? In other words, this is a housing development bond that is not going to benefit my grandchildren.
And I don't think it'll benefit anybody right away except for the investors. So look at the fiscal impact, look at how much you're going to have to pay over the next 35 years. And we recommend no, but you can look at that. Please look at it and think about that a little bit. And I know that we're all going, there's a housing crisis. We all know that. But I don't think that this is the way to alleviate that. There are better ways to do that. So Proposition 2 authorizes bonds to fund existing housing program for individuals with mental illness.
Again, absolutely not. Vote no on this. Again, it's just like number one, Prop 1, they're trying to appeal to your heartstrings. 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all trying to appeal to your heartstrings.
And the fact of the matter is, with number 2, there's already funding in place. So they're making it sound like, oh, we don't take care of our homeless or our mentally ill, or, you know, But we already have that funding in place. So they're just saying, oh, let's have more of it and let's tug at your heartstrings so that you'll give more money to certain programs that some of them are for profit and some of them are not for profit. But the bottom line is that you're going to be paying a lot of money for stuff that's already in place and that really is probably not going to benefit as much as they say it's going to. So look at the arguments. Also, you know, it doesn't hurt to just read the blurbs on the argument for and against. I usually don't bother reading the rebuttals because the rebuttals are the same as the arguments. So it's kind of a waste of time if you're going to read that.
Yeah, the other thing is always, like Rachel has said, actually she said it last week, follow the money. Who's really benefiting from these propositions and who financed them?
And it's really important on some of these. Okay, Proposition 3, which authorizes bonds to fund projects for water supply quality, watershed, fish, wildlife, water conveyance, and groundwater sustainability and storage, sounds fantastic. Who doesn't want to take care of our water? We all do, and our watersheds and all of that. We want all that. But what you have to realize is this is another one where we already had voted that in 10 years ago. This had already been voted in. Have we seen any improvement at all? Some, but not much. You know what improvements I've seen in the last 10 years is now they have signs saying you are now entering the Russian River watershed. Thank you. I really want a sign that says that. And somebody had to make the sign. Somebody had to go out there and dig the hole and put the sign up. And trust me, that's what you're paying for is these stupid signs and not actually any water conservation. We've already voted yes on this and seen no benefit. So I don't see why we would have to do this again. And I am a huge environmentalist. I firmly believe that our watersheds need to be taken care of. Our fish and game and wildlife need to be conserved. But this is, again, this is not the way to do it. Okay. And realize, you know, we don't usually do opinions, but we're really being opinionated today. So number 4 authorizes bonds, funding construction at hospitals, providing children's health care. And what do you think of that?
Well, it naturally tugs at your heartstrings to say, oh, children's health care. You know what? I personally contribute to the Shriners Christian Hospitals, the Shriners Hospitals. I also contribute to St. Jude's Hospital. And we already have these kind of situations in place in the private sector. We don't need state-run hospitals.
Right. And the nonprofit ones are what you want to target. But so I just want to point out that the repayment on that would be $80 million a year.
Per year. So if you add up these bonds so far, you're talking about billions of dollars annually.
And who do you think is going to pay for that?
Yeah.
That would be you and me and your grandma and your, you know, your kids. And I mean, the taxpayers are going to pay for this. So the new borrowing on that would be $1.5 billion. So just think about that, $80 million every year for 35 years just on Proposition 4 alone. So get out your little pens and pencils and your calculators and start calculating. If you voted yes on every single one of these bond measures, how much that would be a year that we're going to be paying out to a largely private interest.
We've got to take a break right now, and we're going to continue to go through our opinions on the propositions. And this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Everybody wants free legal advice. Free legal advice. I don't know how many times I've been to a party or a soccer game or a basketball game, and somebody comes up to me and says, so you're an attorney? And I say, yeah. Well, I have a question. You know what? I give out some free legal advice. But I do it every Monday from noon to 12:30 on KSRO at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. You can call me, Charlie Cochran, or my partner, Rachel Erickson, and get free legal advice.
The safest community in Sonoma County, with great roads, a low homeless population, and a great sense of community. That's Windsor. Windsor is great because of its citizens and leaders who have a passion for the future of their town. One leader who shares that passion is Vice Mayor Dominic Fapoli. I'm 4th District Sonoma County Supervisor James Gore, and I support Dominic Fapoli, who's running for re-election on the Windsor Town Council. Dominic grew up in Windsor, and now he wants to keep it the vibrant community it is for his family and yours. Dominic is committed to safety. After the wildfires, he made emergency response and preparedness in Windsor a key issue. Dominic is committed to the future. He voted to ban all synthetic pesticides from use in public spaces as he works towards creating a toxic-free future for Windsor. Dominic is committed to small business. He supports increasing their bottom line in downtown Windsor and beyond. Dominic is committed to affordable and quality housing for seniors, families, and young professionals at all income levels. When you vote in Windsor on November 6th, re-elect Dominic Fapoli, Vice Mayor.
I'm Dominic Fapoli, and I approve this message.
Nothing starts your day off better than Krispy Kreme. Join the celebration at their grand opening at 5090 Redwood Drive in Roner Park, Tuesday, November 6th, starting at 6 a.m. The first 25 people will receive donuts for a year. The first 100 score a commemorative travel mug. Anytime you crave Krispy Kreme, they're open with a 24-hour drive-thru. Enjoy their one-of-a-kind Krispy Kreme donuts, like their signature original glazed donut. Stop by November 6th to celebrate the grand opening of Krispy Kreme, 5090 Redwood Drive in Roner Park.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from 12 to 1230. My partner Rachel Erickson and I come in here and we talk about some aspect of the law. Today we're talking about the propositions and the fact that you should be suspicious about anything that's proposed through the ballot box. That in other words, things can come into law through the ballot box like propositions, or they can come in and should come in through the legislature, who has hearings on these, has research clerks. We should be legislating in Sacramento. We shouldn't be legislating in the ballot box. And that's my general opinion. So, Rachel, what's our next proposition?
Proposition 5 changes requirements for certain property owners to transfer their property tax base to replacement property. I'm waffling on this one. I go back and forth on this one, and I have not voted yet. I will fill out my ballot this evening, and I will drop it in my local ballot box tomorrow morning, because I always like to wait till the last minute.
Okay.
So what do you think? Because I waffle on this one. So I think, you know, you might want everybody out there, either don't vote on this one or vote or look at it closely and see what you think. What do you think?
I think it's a generally good idea that people 55 and over be able to replace their house equity into replacement property. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. There are some things that, you know, if you transfer your property to a more expensive property, then your taxes go up exponentially. But if you buy a home that's less expensive, then your property tax stays the same. So it's kind of, I don't know about that one. Let's see. Proposition 6 is eliminate certain road repair and transportation funding, requires certain fuel taxes and fuel vehicle fees be approved by the electorate.
Vote no on that.
Absolutely.
Because look, we already have the money is already been budgeted and it's already in place, and we need to have earthquake retrofit on our overpasses and things like that. And that is going to benefit my children and grandchildren. I mean, they're going to be using these road construction projects during their lifetime.
And I think we are all aware of the traffic problems, the pothole problems, the earthquake retrofitting of bridges. All of that has to be done. Most of it's already started. Some of it's already completed. Some of it's close to completion. So if you vote yes, what you're voting to is to eliminate getting those repairs done. So this is one of those that's almost a double negative. So it kind of makes you knee-jerk into it. So don't be knee-jerked into it, because what you're doing is saying, you know, I don't want I don't want my bridges retrofitted. I don't want my roads widened. I don't want any of these transportation and vehicle, you know, things done. And that's very, very short-sighted and very narrow-minded. And I keep saying that if you're going to, I mean, okay, look at the stretch of road that is just south of Petaluma. They've been working on that darn thing for what, 20 years, 25 years?
Let's say we took that funding away. That's what Prop 6 would do. Let's say we took that away. What are we going to do? A half-completed freeway for the next 30 years?
And then think about, oh, you know, we voted in some money to widen the Novato Narrows, and now we're going to say, oh, well, no, we don't want to do that after all. I mean, I don't know. It just seems counterintuitive to me, and we all know that we have traffic problems. And I know the argument on the other side of that, I've heard this a lot. Well, if you widen the roadways and make them better, then we'll just become more crowded and more congested. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. Well, it's already pretty bad.
The alternative is to put your head in the sand and just pretend the building's not going to happen anyway.
Well, there is that. Okay, 7 conforms California daylight savings time to federal law, allows legislature to change daylight saving time, period.
Now, here's the deal. Daylight savings time just went into effect this last weekend, right? Now we have sunsets going on at right 5 o'clock now. Okay, so let's say we don't want that in California. Let's say the legislature wants to change whether we do daylight savings time or not. I think that's a good idea.
All this is really saying, it sounds more complicated than it is, and because they put in conforms to federal law. What it's saying is this Proposition 7, gives us the right to choose, gives California the right to choose whether we want daylight savings time or not. So, you know, think about that. I would like the right to choose. And personally, I think it's a silly idea at this point in time, but that's just me.
Remember, daylight savings time was invented in England because they were having, you know, sunsets at 10:30 at night. And
and we just don't have that problem. So, okay. Proposition 8 regulates amounts outpatient kidney dialysis clinics charge for dialysis treatment. There's a mouthful.
The intent of this proposition is to lower the cost of dialysis treatment. The people that have opposed this ballot measure have spent over $111 million to oppose it. And that's why they put on all these people that say, I'll die if you don't have dialysis machines. Well, what it is a power play based upon trying to have one dialysis machine control the industry versus others.
And it's DaVita Inc., who is a for-profit corporation who regulates 50%, and they want to take over the world of kidney dialysis. So I say don't let them do it.
Prop 9.
Proposition 9. Hold on. Oops. Is there a 9? There isn't a 9. There's a 10. Expands local government's authority to enact rent control on residential property. Okay, you have to read this one carefully.
Having been a city councilman and mayor of Rohnert Park, I can tell you, putting local government, having the ability to regulate rent control is a good thing.
All this is saying give us the local authority to deal with rent control. Don't give it to the state. Don't give it to, we don't want to be linked with San Francisco's rent control statutes. We want to do it the way we want to do it that makes sense for us. So it's just saying, let's put this in our local hands.
For example, what we did in Rohnert Park was we enacted rent control in the mobile home parks only. And then Cotati has rent control for all structures, for all apartment units and mobile home parks.
So we're just saying we want control ourselves. That's all. Don't get all hung up on, you know, excess language on that.
It should be done by city. So I would vote yes on 11.
That was 10.
Oh, 10.
Proposition 11 requires private sector emergency ambulance employees to remain on call during work breaks. Okay, this one kind of makes me cranky.
Okay.
Which is really easy to do, by the way. I get cranky really easily, but this one makes me cranky because this is another one where you have a private company that wants to make all the money. And I can bet you, I'd bet you a lot of money that this is funded. No?
Don't say a name.
Okay. It's funded by certain ambulance companies that want to make a profit. So they make it sound like if you don't vote, if you vote the wrong way on this one, that what'll happen is all of a sudden you won't be able to get the care that you need. You will not be able to get the ambulance attention that you need. There will be ridiculous delays, etc. So it just, you know, be real careful about voting on that one.
Okay, I think we're up to 12.
We are up to 12, which establishes new standards for confinement of specified farm animals and bans the sale of non-complying products. Please vote no on this. And I know this is a heartstrings one, and it sounds fantastic. It really does. The way they put it, they make it sound like all of a sudden, you know, you can't have pigs and pens and veal and all that. But really what it's doing is it's taking away the stuff that we already have in place that's really awesome and a good start. And this puts us back in time so that we can confine animals for another couple of years. So
we have talked about the propositions today, and
We made it through all of them in a half an hour. I can't believe
and
it.
And we're not going to talk about candidates. I will leave that up to you. I will just shout out up in Windsor. I have a Fapoli sign in my yard. Okay. We've been talking today about the propositions. If you have a question, you can give me, Charlie Cochran, a call down at the office at 544-9006, and I'll tell you how I voted if you want that advice. Again, 544-9006. You can also reach out and see our website at kcehlaw.com, kcehlaw.com. And this has been Monday's edition of Ask the Expert with Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson.
The preceding was a paid presentation. Saturdays on KSRO are all